Yeah, I just wanted to go back a little bit about Mikela Shiach, Tev Yohar from the Brisker Rav. That, you know, everybody knows we have, first of all, the makor of reading Rus on Shavuos, and the same thing with Shir HaShirim on Pesach, and Koheles on Sukkot, and Eicha, even Eicha on Tisha B'Av, is not in the Gemara. The Gemara itself does not say anything. The only Megillah of the Gemara is Mechayev you to read, is of course Megillah Esther. And that is taka why many Sfardim Bechlal don't read these Megillahs at all, because Medina de Gemara there is no Chiyav. And the Makor for the Kriya of these Megillahs is Maseches Seifrim. Now what is Maseches Seifrim? It's not so pashut. It's what is called one of the Masechtos Ketanos that is printed in the back of Maseches Avodah Zarah, Maseches Sefer Torah, Maseches Sittes, Maseches Avadim, Maseches Kusim. These are called Masechtos. And indeed, a large part of the Masechtos are quotations from Gemaras, but a lot of things are not quotations from Gemaras. And the Rush and other Rishonim say that Maseches Seifrim was Nischaber, or Maseches Ketanos generally, was Nischaber in the time of the Gaonim, and it does not have the authority of the Maharam unless they're quoting statements from the Gemara itself. So in Maseches Seifrim, it mentions all the Megillahs, and it mentions them bibracha. And as we know, the minig of the Grub, Bifrat, is to be Soimich and Maseches Seifrim, that we actually make a bracha on these Megillahs. It's interesting that the minig of reading them without making a bracha, it's not so clear, could be manavshach. According to the Bavli, you don't read them at all. According to Maseches Seifrim, you read them with a bracha. Could just be that Misafek, where most Kehillas are Machmer like Maseches Seifrim, but they also apply the rule of Safek Bracha Lekula. But the Graz is Machmiya Legamri like Maseches Seifrim. But Maseches Seifrim is very, very interesting. Maseches Seifrim has all sorts of unusual minhagim that we don't follow today. It records that Tainus Esther is 3 days. Lezecher, the tainus of Esther, but we don't do it during Nisan because you're not allowed to fast during Nisan. But you don't do it before Purim. It was a Monday, Thursday, Monday after Purim was time was tainus again. Very mudnim and hugim and the like. Okay, so in a lot of pratim we do not follow Maseches Seifrim, but in this prat we do. Now, why we read Rus on Shavuos? There are many, many reasons. The yahrzeit of David HaMelech, Rus is the great-grandmother of David HaMelech, Matan Torah is Geirus, and Rus is Kabbalah's mitzvahs of Geirus. The Maisa of Rus happened between the barley harvest of Pesach and the wheat harvest of Shavuos. Well, a lot of reasons. But there's another question we have to ask, and that is, why we read Rus on Shavuos is one question. But why Shmuel HaNavi wrote Megillas Rus is another question. And he actually had, according to most Mefarshim, he actually had a highly specific reason for writing Megillas Rus. We know that Shmuel HaNavi was Nifter at the very young age of 52, but he was Nifter before David became king. He anointed David, but remember, Shaul didn't die till after Shmuel died. But the last thing Shmuel wanted to do was Shmuel wanted to make a public record legitimating the yichus of David HaMelech and David HaMelech's right to be a king. Because here is the problem. The Torah says in Parshas Kiseitse, Lo yavai amayni u'moavi b'kal Hashem. The Ammonite or the Moabite is not allowed to enter into Klal Yisrael, even if they convert. They are not allowed. Ammon and Moab are the two children that Lot had from his daughters. They committed incest. The older daughter, the Bechira, called her son Moab from my father. The Tseira called her son Ammon from my nation. They're a product of incest. But that is not why the Torah says don't marry them. Because the daughters of Lot were actually mechatnas l'shem shemayim. They thought there was no one else left in the world. But rather, it's because years later in the Midbar, in the 40th year of the Midbar, we need to pass through their land on the way to Eretz Yisrael. We ask them for food and water. We offer to buy the food and water from them. Laikidmu eschem belechem uvamayim. They refuse to give us food and water. They're cruel. They're not grateful to the chesed of Avraham Avinu. And because of their cruelty and their lack of rachamim, the Torah says, lo yavai b'kal Hashem. They're psulei kahal. They cannot enter kahal Hashem like a mamzer. So Mimela, the halakhic problem is that since Rus is a Moabite, right, she is from the nation of Moab, and the Torah says, lo yavai amayni mavi b'kal Hashem, if that's the case, David HaMelech is tainted because he comes from a Moabite, and if he comes from a Moabite, he is puzzled to even marry into Klal Yisrael, and if he's puzzled to marry into Klal Yisrael, he cannot be a Melech. Now, David HaMelech had many enemies, Dayik HaDaimi, other people, and they were constantly spreading this idea that David HaMelech is puzzled because he comes from the Rus, the Moabi. Now, Alibi Diyemes, that's not true, and the reason it's not true is that the halacha that you're not, that Amayni Moavi is puzzle, is only going on the male, not on the female. And since David HaMelech comes from a female Moavit, he is permitted. But this was a halacha that was either forgotten or intentionally misrepresented over and over again. So what did Shmuel want to do? Shmuel wanted to put on the historical record that 100 years earlier, the Gadol Hador, Bayez, the Gadol Hador, he was the Shefet of the door. Publicly, that's why there were 10 people, publicly, Barabin married Rus B'chuppah V'Kedushin and Sheva Brachas to legitimate and establish the precedent that female Moabites are permitted. So the purpose of Megillas Rus, with all the beautiful reasons we give why we read it on Shavuos, the purpose of Megillas Rus was to clarify and establish the legitimacy of the Yichus of David HaMelech by virtue of recording the historical precedent. And of course, this all depended on the haratza, the admiration and the kavod that people had towards Bayez, because if Bayez would have been a garnish, it wouldn't have meant anything. We have a book that John Doe marries in Rus. That doesn't mean anything, but the presupposition was that even in David HaMelech's time, people were machshiv Bayez as a great man. And if it says in the Sefer, Bayez married Rus, I guess it's okay. Now, this explains a very interesting anomaly. The Gemara actually says that there's a detail that Shmuel left out of the story. That is, Bayez married Rus, Bayez impregnated Rus, and Rus had a son, Oved. But Oved is the father of Yishai, the father of David. But Bayez died the next morning. He was dead. He lived one night. Shmuel didn't want to tell you. He didn't want to write in the Megillas Rus that Bayez died right away. Now, this makes a lot of sense. If Shmuel is writing a book to establish, oh, you see, it's a good thing, Bayez married Rus. And then the Sefer would say, oh, by the way, Bayez died the next day. Most people are going to say, yeah, Bayez died the next day because he committed this tremendous aveira of marrying a Moabite. So Shmuel said, I'm going to leave that detail out because that would take me off message, as they say. Now, Aliba d'Emes Taka, why did Bayez die the next day? Halachically, not only was it a mutter thing, it was a mitzvah. It was to perpetuate the Moshe Mashiach. By the way, Rav Shiller sent me an email that somebody sent in from Toronto. Some of you may know a very, 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 very chashuv paisik, Rav Shlomo Eliyahu Miller in Toronto. Very, very chashuv person. So somebody recorded some maaser with Rav Miller, and somebody asked Rav Miller with Shaila if something is mutter or not. And Rav Miller said it was mutter. Which it was mutter. So the guy says back, a little chutzpah, well, I think it's better to be machmir. Anyway. So Rav Miller said, yeah, you're like Ploni Almoni. You know, you're allowed to marry, you know, you're allowed to marry a female Moabite. Ploni Almoni is machmir. Because of his machmir, he lost the ability to be the ancestor of Mashiach. Right? So when you're in your machmir, there are sometimes going to be certain hefseidim that you're never going to realize that might happen. Of course, that's coming from a paisek who indeed is usually quite machmir. Miller is not a major paisek, but okay. But be it as it may, Why did Bayez die? So if you look in the Gemara in Bava Basra, you see a whole backstory to Bayez that's very tragic and very perplexing. Bayez was a Shaifet. In the book of Shaiftim, he goes by the name Ifsan. That's his Shofet name. He has two names. Bayez means Hashem gave him strength to stay alive long enough to be able to marry Rus. Bayez had 120 children, 60 sons and 60 daughters. Amazing. And they all got married and they all died. They all died. Not only did he lose his wife, which the Megillas Rus itself says he was in bereavement for his wife, but he lost all of his children. Why did he lose all of his children? So the Gemara gives you even a stranger story. That Boaz's good friend was Manayach, the father of Shimshon. Manayach and his wife had no children for many, many years. Bayez made 120 chasanas. He did not invite Manayach to a single chasana because he said, what's the use of inviting him? He's never going to reciprocate. I'm never going to get an invitation back from him. So why should I invite him? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, oh, you're miskoya, that you have so many chasanas. Do you think he has nothing? You will lose all of your children. And Manayach will have Shimshon. And although Shimshon did himself die tragically, but Shimshon is still considered Mashiach Shel Yisrael. He is one of the saviors of Am Yisrael in that way. How do you understand this? Bayez is a tzaddik, Bayez is a shayfet, Bayez is a gadol ador. And he says, I'm not inviting this person to 120 chasanas because, you know, I'm never going to get anything back. What type of person is that? So I was thinking, it could be that Bayez's cheshben was in fact l'shem shemayim. Bayez's cheshben was that here Manayach has no children. That must be a source of great pain to him and his wife. So what's going to be if I invite him every week? This wedding, this wedding, this wedding, this wedding, this wedding. It's like rubbing it in. Maybe it's not kedai for me, in terms of his feelings, to be mishtatif. You know, it reminds me a little bit, you know, the minhag is that you're mechabed a person as kvater at a bris, a couple as kvaters. Kvaters meaning they carry in the baby if they don't have children. So it's a skula. Let's put down it's a skula to have children. Now what happens is that if people have fertility problems, it often may be nimshach for a few years. So a person in that, not a person, as a person, a couple in that situation, they may be kvaters, you know, 30 times, 35 times. And after a while, you know, it becomes a little embarrassing for them that everybody's having kids, they're not having kids, you know, and you're singling them out as the couple without children. So often people request that they not be considered for kvaters after a while. Now, again, I would say it's never good to turn down a bracha, no matter how many times you've gotten it already, but still, the idea is that they don't want it to be highlighted. So it could be that Bayez's kavana was l'shem shemayim, not to highlight the fact that Manayach was childless. But nevertheless, it was still an avera because Manayach himself was hurt by this. Manayach was hurt by not being invited, and even if Bayez's kavana was to spare him pain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still has a tefillah. So here is the point. Bayez was a broken man. Bayez should have died much earlier. Hashem artificially kept him going until Rus was ready to join Klal Yisrael and they could be together and the seed of Mashiach is planted. So yes, Eino Chinami. Bayez died the night after, or the day after his wedding, but he didn't die as an Einish, Chas v'Shalom. Hashem kept him alive artificially till that marriage could be consummated, and then he died because he should have died years before. But Rus was not yet ready. Rus had to be ready as well. In fact, this is a Siba in some cases, although we can't see it in all cases. One of the Sibas for delays in getting married sometimes is that the other person is not ready. In other words, your Bashert is not ready. Rav Freifeld got married, his first, the Shiddush got married when he was 29 or so, you know, almost 30. And he was very much bizarre, he felt he was old. Unfortunately, we have people that are older than that, because all of his career were getting married. But he married a great, great tzaddikus from Yerushalayim, who was only 18 years old. He was 30, she was 18. So he says, now I understand why I didn't get married until 30. She couldn't. if I would have gotten at 22, she was only 12 years old, so Mamela. I had to wait because my best sheret was much younger than me. So that sometimes could be a reason, although sometimes when they're both the same age, you don't have that teretz, but when there's a big age difference, that can sometimes be the teretz of the hashgacha. Okay, so here's the thing. Clearly in the story of Rus, there is a reference to the mitzvah of Yibam. Right? Machlon and Filyai marry Rus and Orpah. Orpah does not convert, right? So Chilion is out of the picture, but Rus does convert. And when Machlon dies, Naomi wants there to be a marriage to perpetuate the memory and the zecher of Machlon. Now, this is not real Yibam, though. It's not real Yibam, even though the words Lahakim Shem is mentioned, but it's not real Yibam, for a very simple reason. Real Yibam is only with a brother. Boaz and Machlon are not brothers. Boaz and Machlon are first cousins. How do I know Boaz and Machlon are first cousins? Because Rashi records, again, from Chazal, that Boaz's father is Salmon, that's in the Megillah. Machlon's father is Elimelech. Salmon and Elimelech are brothers, the sons of Nachshon ben Aminadab. So, if Salmon has Boaz, and Elimelech has Machlon, and Salmon and Elimelech are brothers, Boaz and Machlon are first cousins. So the Ramban explains, although obviously there is no mitzvah of Yibam between cousins, the mitzvah of Yibam is only between brothers.
Ramban.
But the inyan, the spiritual concept of Yibam, that a close relative can perpetuate the neshama of a meis, that applies even to other kraven as well. The Torah said the mitzvah, the chiyuv is by anach, but the inyan is even by other relatives. Although I will tell you a cute story. Rav Chaim Eiser Grudzinski, the Gadol Hador, because of his health, he would often spend the summer months out in a resort in Germany. And there weren't a lot of B'nai Torah there. It was a German Jewry. There was Shomer Shabbos, but it was not Lita. And one time, for whatever reason, for medical reasons, he had to extend his stay into Elul, and even Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So he's very tzibrachim, and slichos, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, he has to hang around a place where there's not really B'nai Torah around, just like a regular, let's say, young Israel minion, you know, whatever it would be. And he felt a little hurt that, you know, this is not a makam, especially for the Yom of Narayim. So one day he's walking around, you know, taking a walk, and he sees a yid from Lita, a Litvashi yid. And he's so excited, he goes, Rabbi Yid, Shalom Aleichem, it's good to see a landsman, what are you here for? So the yid was not a learned person, as you will see in a moment. And the yid says, well, I come from Lita, but I have a brother who used to be a groundskeeper here in this park area. And unfortunately my brother died, and he left an almana with three young children. And I know it'll be impossible for her to raise the children herself. So I came here to marry her. That way I can help her raise the children. So Rav Chaim Eiser is very shocked. He said, you know, because even though there's a mitzvah of Yibam, but if it's Eishes Ach, Sheyesh Labanim, not only is there no mitzvah of Yibam, it's an erba, you're Chayav Karas. So Rav Chaim Eiser says, Mebiyed, this is an Isser D'Oraisa, you can't do this. The person says, I don't know who you are. You know, people tell me different things. Everyone, you have this chumra, that chumra. Everybody has chumras. He says, you know, this is a decent thing to do. She needs me. She has three small children. What do you want me to do? So Rav Chaim Eiser says, you know, this is not a chumra of the Mishnah Brura or Yesh Aimrim and the Chai Yodam. This is a chumish. He says, it shows a chumish. The chumish says, you're not allowed to marry a Yisach. So again, the person is an Amara, obviously. He says, well, I know there's a mitzvah of Yibam too. And obviously there's a mitzvah of Yibam, and, you know, this is a good thing to do. Ignoring, of course, Ashkenazim don't even do Yibam, but okay, that's already a chumra. So Rav Chaim Eiser doesn't know what to do. He says, I mean, I showed you a chumish. I mean, is there anything that I can do, say, to convince you of this? He says, you know, says, I don't know, all these rabbis tell me this and that. I heard there's a famous rabbi in Vilna, Rav Grzesinski. He says, I have to hear it from Rav Grzesinski. So Rav Chaim Weizer understood, now I understand. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu put me in this forsaken place for Yamim Narayim? Because I was the only person in the world that could take this person away from an Aveira. Matzel him from Chet. Right? Very, very amazing thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us in strange locations sometimes. And there could be a very, very deep reason why we are where we are. But okay. But be it as it may, when Naomi convinces Boaz to go ahead with Yibam, especially when Ruth pays the midnight visit, very controversial, Boaz says, but you know, there's a closer relative than I. There's somebody that has the first zechus to do the Yibam. I'm not discussing the redeeming of the field. That's really another shear. And I have to go to him first.
So you know it's not the mitzvah.
That's correct. This is a spiritual inyan that apparently was practiced, a spiritual inyan. By the way, there raises other questions too. I mean, there's so many questions here. Number one, when did Rus convert? When did Rus become Jewish? If Rus became Jewish after Mahlon died, when she came with Naomi, you have a real big kasha. And that is, that means she was a Goya when Mahlon married her. A person marries a Goya, Ein Kedushin Taifsim. There would be no Indian of Yibam. Elamai, you have to say, Rus converted before she married Mahlon. So why is Naomi discouraging her? You have a Mimanav Shechdik Akasha here. If Rus didn't convert until afterwards, then why is there Yibam? Even spiritual Yibam. If Rus converted before, why is Naomi telling her to go back? Yeah, I'll leave that for now as a kasha. I will say that Rashi in Megillas Rus says Beferish. Rashi says Beferish that both Rus and Orpah were Nochrios, meaning Machlon and Chilion committed the sin of intramarriage. And Targum Yenison says the same thing. But like Rashi, you have a real big pella. What is the Indian of Yibam? Okay, but I'll leave that aside. But Baya says there is this other relative, and this other relative goes by the name Tov. Good guy, or Plomi Almoni, that we still say John Doe, anonymous. And Plomi Almoni is willing to buy the field, he's very happy to do the business transactions. But when it comes to marrying Rus, Plomi Almoni says, Layuchal Ligal Li, I cannot redeem her. Pen Ashchis Es Nachalasi, lest I corrupt or I pollute my inheritance. What does that phrase mean? So Rashi says, Pliny Almaini is making a mistake in halacha. He thinks even female Moabites are forbidden. So Lishitasai, this is a forbidden marriage. So he says, I can't do it because it's a forbidden marriage. It'll taint my zera. Boaz knows the halacha, so Boaz responds by marrying her. Now it's interesting, the Pesachei Teshuvah says an interesting thing. Let's say I want to do a mitzvah, but you have kedima in the mitzvah, but you don't know that you have kedima. I don't have to correct your mistake. If you think, you know, I can take the mitzvah away. And the raya is, because the chayra, if Pliny Almighty says, I can't marry her because she's forbidden, Boaz should have said, oh, no, she's permitted, go ahead. Instead, Boaz has his minion already there. Pliny Almighty says, can't do it. Boaz says, hurry up, because that's just like, Boaz doesn't give Pliny Almighty a chance to correct. But of course, Min HaShemayim, it had to be that way, because remember, it had to be Boaz that married Rus. If Pliny Almighty would have married Rus, that wouldn't have established the legitimacy of the Yichas of David HaMelech. Boaz was the Gadol Hador. But they were from the same family, that's correct. Pliny Almighty is Boaz's uncle. Rashi brings Salmon, yeah, also a Dinyan of Yibam. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because he's got a Lador. Meaning if Boaz marries, people are going to look at that as halacha lemaisa. If Pliny Almoini married, they would have said he's a hetchet who says that he followed halacha. In other words, Shmuel needed to show that the Gadol Hador married. But yeah, Rashi says Nachshon ben Aminadav had three sons: Salmon, Elimelech, and Toth. Right, so Boaz and Machlon are cousins. Tov is uncle. Tov is an uncle. Now, of course, Tov may not have been the Gadol Hador, but Tov Lechar had a very chashuv yichus. He's also a son of Nachshon ben Aminadav. But okay, all right. So Tov doesn't want to do it because Tov is making a mistake in the halacha that he thinks even the female Moavi is forbidden, and that's a mistake. So the Brisker Rav asks a Gevaldige Kasha. Tov says, I can't be Miyabim because I will pollute my children that come from this union because of the Isser. If he holds, erroneously Taka, but if he holds Batais, that it's Usser, he shouldn't have said, I can't marry her because it'll corrupt my children. He should have said, I can't marry her because it's a Maisa Aveira. It's like a person saying, I can't be Mechalel Shabbos because it would be a bad example for my children. That may be true, but that's not the reason you can't be Mechalel Shabbos. The reason you can't be Mechalel Shabbos is because the Abishah said you can't be Mechalel Shabbos. If he holds that the Isser of Lo Yavai Amayni Yamoavi is Kolel, the Nekevus, then Lishitasai, it's an Avera for him. This is the Brisker Rav's Kasha. Now, Aliba Diemes, the Marsha and Yivamas asked the Kasha hundreds of years earlier. And the Marsha gives it to us. The Marsha says, even if there is an Isser, but he'd be allowed to be Miyabim because Esei Dochelosa says. So he's only afraid of his children. Okay, that's a Pella in and of itself, that non-mandatory Yivam would be Deicha and Isser. This is not Yivam Mamish. But okay. But the Brisker Rav gives the following Mahalach. The Rambam says in Hilchos Mamrim that there are three types of activity that a Sanhedrin can engage in. One category of activity is when the Sanhedrin makes takanos or gezeros. That's pure derabbanans. When the Sanhedrin makes a takana or a gezera, we have a rule: ein based in yochol levatel divrei based in chavera. A later Sanhedrin cannot be mevato what an earlier Sanhedrin does unless they're gadol mimenu, they are greater than the earlier Sanhedrin, b'chochma, in wisdom, which is usually not going to be the case, u'b'minyan, and greater in number. Now the Rambam asks up in art, what do you mean a Sanhedrin greater in number? The Sanhedrin HaGadol had 71 members and it was never bigger. So how can a later Sanhedrin be greater in number than an earlier Sanhedrin? So the Rambam says, for this purpose, the Sanhedrin can be augmented to include all of the Chachmei HaTorah of the generation. You can make an ad hoc, expanded Sanhedrin, like the Anshei Knesset HaGdola was such an example. 120 elders, right? That was the Sanhedrin, plus another 49 people, and the like. Okay. So that's takana or gezeira. What about when Chazal don't make a takana or gezeira, they make a drasha? They darshan psukim. They darshan, and from the drasha, there might see halacha. So here the Rambam says a tremendous chiddush. When it comes to a drasha, even a Sanhedrin that is inferior, not us, we're not a Sanhedrin, but even a Sanhedrin that's inferior, can be mevatel and make a different drasha. And the reason is the following. Because a drasha is ultimately based on what is the kavana of the pasuk. What does the pasuk mean? Right? What does the pasuk mean? And every Sanhedrin has an achrayas to interpret the psukim according to their havana. And if they feel that the earlier Sanhedrin's havana is incorrect, they have the responsibility to make their own different drasha. So it's a mudnezach, because at first glance, it may be counterintuitive that the rules for repealing a drabbanan dikalah are stricter than the rules for repealing a doraisa. When Chazal make a drasha, that's a doraisa. When it comes to a drabbanan dikalah, only a Sanhedrin that's greater can repeal it. When it comes to a drasha, which is a doraisa, even a lesser Sanhedrin.
Would there something be greater in the Chachma?
No.
I'm saying, but now, if they're not greater in the Chachma, then how do they know that they're right?
So that's the halacha of Yiftach B'dayra Kishmul B'dayra. That is the achrayas that they have to paskin lefi ra'aseinayim. Now, the Kesef Mishnah has a whole arichas, according to that. Kesef Mishnah asks a very interesting kashas. So why can't an Amayra argue with the Tana? If a Tana makes a drasha, so even if the Amayra is kata, but you don't, but right, it's a okay. Why can't we argue with the Gemara? So we, I think, we're not a Sanhedrin, but the Kesef Mishnah goes on to this idea that if you're telling me you don't have to be gadol b'chachma, then anyone later should be able to argue with anybody earlier. Okay, all right. Now there's a third category. Sometimes a Sanhedrin is not geizer and it doesn't darshan, but it's simply a shalshelis. It's a link in the chain to be meisher a halacha l'meisher misina. So here the Rambam says quite logically, if we are makabel from a Sanhedrin that something is halacha l'meisher misina, there is no way we can be chaylik on that meisher, because that is a meisher. It's not a drush, it's a meisher. Ah. So now the Brisker Rav says gevaldik. Pliny Almaini is much smarter than we give him credit for. Pliny Almaini vadai knows that you're allowed to marry a female Moabite. He knows that. But he doesn't know why. Because the question is the heter of the females based on a drasha? Or is it based on halacha l'moshe misina? The pashtus of the Gemara is, it's a drasha. Because the Torah says, don't marry the Moavi, al devar asher laikidmu eschem belechem uvamayim, because they did not give you food and water. So the Gemara has a drasha. Oh, that's only a taina on the men who could have been expected to come out and give food and water to the men. But on the women, how could there be a taina on the women? Are the women expected to give food and water to the men? There's no taina on them. Although, by the way, it's very clear that it wasn't a matter of kol pevudu bas melech panima, right? I mean, the Moabite women were not sinua. When it came to being machshil, the Jewish people, with sinus, there they went ahead and did it, right? Only when it comes to giving them food and water, all of a sudden they're sinua. Okay, but nevertheless, lemaisa, it's not sinua. So they can't be punished. Right? So it's a drasha. So this is what the Brisker Rav says. Pliny Almaini knew the drasha, but this is what he's afraid of. Mitzidi, if our Sanhedrin under Bayez makes such a drasha, I will vadei not be doing an Avera. I will be doing the Ratzon Hashem, because I will be following the Psak of the Sanhedrin. So I can't say it's usher for me because of the Avera. But what's going to be if 200 years from now a later Sanhedrin slugs up the drasha, and we'll see this actually happen, then l'mafreya, all of the children born from my union are going to be pasul. Right? The Brisker Rav's kasha was, why didn't he say, I can't do it because it's an avera? Answer, it's not an avera. I'm soimich on the drasha. But l'gabe my children, there could be a later change. What's his mistake? It's halacha l'maisha misina. So when Rashi says ta'a b'mayaviv lo mo'aviyah, it doesn't mean, like we learn, ta'a that he thought it was usher, but ta'a that he thought it was a drasha, when in reality it's a halacha l'maisha misina.
Drasha's given.
The Rambam himself says that often, not all the time, Halacha l'moshe misinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes to be merames in the Lashon HaMikra as well. Now, the emphasis, the Brisker Rav brings us, this is kemat of a Farish Gemara, because what Pliny Almaini was afraid of exactly happens. It's mentioned years later. David HaMelech is already king. Doye Ko Adaimi, who is David's great enemy, he was a big Talmud Chacham, a Rasha, but a big Talmud Chacham, comes into the Beis Medrash and says, why are you letting this guy be king? He's Pasol Lavoi Bekal, because he comes from Arusha Moaviyah, and the Torah says, Lo Yavai Amayni Moavi Bekal Hashem. So the Chachamim try to slug him up. The first thing they say is, well, Moavi and Amoni is a Lashon Zachar, so it's Moavi below Moaviyah, Amayni below Amaynis. So Dayak says, you're not going to get away with that. Lo Yavo Mamzer, the Torah says, Mamzer cannot marry. Are you going to say Mamzer below Mamzeris? Obviously not. Mamzer includes Zachar and Nekeva, same thing here. So then they come to the other drasha. Al Devarasher Lo Kidmo Eskan Belechem Lumayim. Darko Shalish Lekadeh, Vein Darko Shalisha Lekadeh. Drasha. Dayek says, wait a second. Even if the women could not be criticized for their failure to bring water to the men, but the women could have gone to the women, and the men could have gone to the men. So that drasha would not be a heter for women. And it is recorded, the Chachamim didn't know what to say. He shrugged up the drasha. And they were about to paskin that David HaMelech was pasul lavai bekal, because he comes from Rus. I guess I don't know why the book of Megillas Rus didn't make its appearance at that point. Until somebody came, Amasa ben Yeser, one of David's generals, and he put on a sword, and he stood by the door of the Beis Medrash, and he said, Kach mikublani mishmuel haramasi, maybe that's Megillas Rus, that this is a halacha l'moshe misina. So the Brisker Rav says, exactly what Pliny Almaini was afraid of, that somebody will shlug up the drasha. And a later Sanhedrin would paskin that there's an iser, is what happened. And the only way it got avoided was by reaffirming it's a halacha l'moshe misina. And the Brisker Rav says that that was the machlokas between the Gael and Pliny Almaini. Now, one other thing I want to clarify.
Yeah. How else would they, you know, if they're making a mistake, then how, if something is a svar or something is a drasha, how do we know something?
Well, again, I mean, normally in Maseches Edges, the way it was established is people would give edus to the Sanhedrin that they have such a Messiah. Now, obviously, the Sanhedrin would have to be convinced that the person reporting it, whether it's edus or even one person, is reliable, and that's always going to be a question. I mean, reliability is going to be a question because apparently. Yeah, halacha l'moshe misinai doesn't mean everybody knew it was halacha. I mean, obviously, not everybody knew. A lot of people didn't know. But Amasa was meyed that there was a Messiah, Shmuel HaMasa. People ask the question, what is this idea of putting on a sword? He said, halacha l'moshe misinai, I'll kill you. What do you say? Except what I say. So some say it's metaphorical. It's Mochamta Shalteira, whatever it is, that he's not, you know, that. He's going to argue his point and the like.
Was kind of biased.
Huh?
This was kind of biased and situated. I mean, it wasn't exactly.
Yeah. But again, it could be. I mean, I don't know. The Gemara doesn't say, but it could be he pulled out Megillas Rus. Maybe that's the point. That here's a book written by the Navi. Kach Mekublani. So maybe the Kabbalah was Megillas Rus. Maybe Rus was not a public book. Maybe that's when Rus became a public book. You know, I don't know. As Rus, he had possession of this book to be pulled out when needed, and now it's time to pull out this book. And Shmuel, of course, was accepted by everybody as an unimpeachable Makor. So Mimela, this is the book of Shmuel. Look what Shmuel says over here. One other point I just want to clarify that people sometimes get mixed up. You'll recall that when the Gael declines to do it, so there's a ceremony involving the removal of a shoe, a yishleif ish nalei. And obviously the mental picture that you have in your mind is a chalitza ceremony. But there are kama v'kama taimen. That is what is being described cannot be chalitza. Reason number one why it can't be chalitza is you never do chalitza if there's somebody who wants to be miyabim. If you have two brothers, and one brother doesn't want to do Ibum and the other brother does, there's no chalitza. here, if Pliny Almighty doesn't want to do Yibam, but Bayez does, even though this is not real Yibam anyway, there's no reason to have Chalitza. Second of all, Chalitza is the woman pulls the shoe off the oven. Here, even though there's a machlekes, who pulls whose shoe off, but it's Bayez and Pliny Almighty. Rus was not involved in pulling off the shoe. And then we'll see, Vayishleif Ishnale is a machlekes, who pulled off whose shoe. But Rus did not do it. And the third reason why it would not be Chalitza is because the Gemara's maskana is that it was not Bayez who pulled the shoe off Pliny Almighty. It was Pliny Almighty who pulled the shoe off Bayez. It was Bayez's shoe that was removed. If Bayez's shoe was removed, that has no shaychus to Chalitza. So if it's not a Chalitza ceremony, what is going on? So what is going on, according to the Gemara and Bava Metzia, is not Chalitza. What is going on is Kinyan Chalipin. Meaning to say, in fact, it's more connected to the field. There's a field that Naomi sold that the Goyel has a right to redeem, and the Goyel is giving up that right. He is selling his right to Bayez. And one of the ways that rights are transferred is by Chalipin. And Chalipin, so it doesn't have to be a shoe, it could be any kli, it's a symbolic barter. I give you a kli, in exchange for which you're makna me the schus. So Bayez took off his shoe as a kli, and gave it to the Goyel, Pliny Almighty, thereby buying the Zechusim of Pliny Almighty to be kind. Now, the truth of the matter is, you don't need a Kenyan for that. I mean, if there are two people who have a right to redeem a field, you don't want to redeem, then I go ahead and do it. But Bayez did it, he wanted a formal, again, everything here is kind of optional. He wanted a Maisa Kenyan, so Pliny Almighty will not come later and say, I was cheated, I was deceived. Or whatever it is. So what's interesting is almost everybody who reads the Psukim thinks Chalitza, when in fact it's Kinyan Chalipin. Now the real problem is, if it's Kinyan Chalipin, why a shoe? A shoe is valid for Chalipin, but Megillas Esther indicates that this was common. Chalipin is not totally on a shoe, any kli, handkerchief, a pen, right? So it's brought down. I mean, the Malbim is Masbir, that even though any kli is kosher for chalipin, the minhag was to use a shoe, and the reason is, a shoe is a sign of cheres, of freedom. Free men had shoes. Slaves were commonly barefoot. That's why by Mechiras Yosef it says they used the money of the Mechira to buy shoes, because they said, oh, now we're free of this person who acted like our boss. So Memela, the way chalipin works as a symbolic gesture is, I am in your debt. In other words, because you're transferring Zechusim to me, I'm like your servant. I am in your indebtedness. I'm giving you my shoes, and you're giving me certain Zechusim in exchange. Now, but here's something in Nach that I want to bring out, which again, may be a little controversial. And that is, it's more of a modern idea, but it makes sense. And that is, sometimes, even when the actual event is one way, it is described in such a way that in your mind there's a secondary image of something else. And it's not referring to what actually happened, but it's there to implant in your mind an association. And that is, hagam that the actual Maisa Shahaya was a Kinyan Chalipin, in which Bayez takes off his shoe and gives it to Pliny Almighty. It is written in such a way, because it just says Vayishleif Ish Naleim, which you could imagine it being Pliny Almighty is giving up his shoe. So the Torah is created, and Asif says this is why the Torah is called a Shira. A poem has a primary message, but there are secondary messages which are in addition.
Verses all the time.
By shoe.
Yeah. The Torah writes it in a certain way.
Right.
Describe it this way because it wants you to picture it this way.
That's correct. So the chiddush a little bit, I don't know if it's a chiddush, but the chiddush is that sometimes the picture is not necessarily telling you what the Messias was, but it wants you to have a picture that this Goyel was Mayes in the opportunity to be making Liyachiv Shein, like every person that has chalitza. And again, with the power of chalitza is a very powerful ceremony. Although it's always a kasha to me. Today we don't allow yibam, and if the woman doesn't want yibam, the yavam goes through chalitza. Okay, but clearly chalitza is described in the Torah as disdain to the yavam. Right, she spits at him, who doesn't want to be made kishem. And they say b'shem the Baal Shem Tov, a very interesting tzach. What is chalitza? I don't know if any of you have a lot of parents from Poland, they don't like their kids to go barefoot in the house. The opposite of the Japanese. I don't know if you ever encountered that. Because they say barefoot is ayin hara, because barefoot is when somebody is sitting shiva. But they have a thing. Some European parents have such a mitzvah, down such a hanhaga. So Mamela, the Baal Shem Tov says, when a man refuses to do yibam, the yavama essentially says to him, take off your shoes. You have killed your brother a second time. Your brother died once. You had a chance to give him chias by making him shame. You refuse to give him chias. Take off your shoes. You're maimus the brother. So that's a very powerful statement, as if you're basically telling the yavam, you have killed your brother a second time. Again, there are a lot of kashas. I mean, the whole chalitza ceremony is very difficult to understand when it's the yavama that doesn't want. The Gemara says beferish that if the yavam wants yibam and the yavama doesn't, we force him to go through chalitza. But what's his pesha? Unless you're going to say spiritually, if we would have been enough of a tzaddik l'shem shemayim, she would have wanted. In other words, Mamela, if you cared enough, you would make yourself ra'oi that I would want to be biyabim. Okay, that's hard to say. And b'zman hazeh, among Ashkenazim, yibam is usher. He doesn't even have the brayer. Okay. But be it as it may, I think this might be an example where although the actual mice is not a mice of chalitza, the Torah describes it in an ifan that brings to mind the picture of chalitza. And that's that could be a lesson here, that the Torah speaks in different forms. Okay, we'll stop here and be well.